Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Today on Stick to Football, we get to preview the weekend. We get a blind review. Thursday Night Football is back. Also, your draft on draft questions presented by our friends at Dos Equis. I got Mello. I got Connor. And before we jump into the show, I like to do things that aren't in the rundown just to keep us all on our toes. We don't record again until Monday morning, at which time Mello will be having a birthday Monday morning. So Tuesday next week will be, I guess, your birthday episode. Is that what we're going to do?
It will be the hangover episode where I will sound completely fine on the podcast, but in fact, I will be incredibly hungover.
There you go. So happy early birthday, because the next time our listeners hear from us, you will indeed be 33 plus one.
Yeah, so old. So old.
It is.
Well, happy early birthday to Mello. Was it last year that we did the surprise beers?
Yes, it was. God, that was only a year ago.
I was just going to say, I cannot believe that. Like, I remember being at work, and we used to record at nights then, and I was, like, looking around the office. I was like, I got to find beers. Like, I don't have time to run out, and buying beer in the city, like, in Times Square is, like, literally a Easter egg hunt. It's unless you want to go to Dwayne Reed and spend like $20 on six Bud Lights.
That's what I was going to say. It's going to cost you at least $18.
But the BR office is always stacked with tons of beer, usually, or the kegs. And that was fun, man. It's crazy that I don't know, that feels like a lifetime ago. It's nuts.
I think it was a lifetime ago. So I am soliciting ideas for Mello's birthday present. So you can hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what I should get him. I'm seeing a lot of Scottie Pippen references.
It's a Scottie Pippen.
I think that makes me Michael Jordan.
If that's where you want to go,
that's
with
not
it.
What they meant by that.
I guess.
Okay. Now I understand. Okay. Let's get into the let's just get into the show then. Let's do that. Let's start with some news and notes. It is Tua time. Officially in Miami after coming in last week in reserve, Tua will start. Following the bye week, Ryan Fitzpatrick benched. Tua will be coming in very soon. And this was like, it was honestly kind of sad, because I don't know if you guys saw, Ryan Fitzpatrick was very sad about this. He's played well. He's a leader. The team is playing well. They are 3-3. They are contending in the AFC East. My man really thought he had done everything he needs to do, but because you drafted a quarterback at number 5 overall, he is the future of this team, and this is the time to do it, in my opinion, guys. You have a bye this week, and then next week, November 1st, you play the Los Angeles Rams. That is a good defense, but I think you would rather have Tua, giving him 2 weeks to prepare for his first start, as opposed to it being a situation where, like Justin Herbert, where starting quarterback gets stabbed in the lung by the team doctor and you have to just immediately go in there and play. It's worked for Herbert, but yeah. I think you'd rather do it this way.
Yeah, I think so too. And all along, until I saw his like interview the other day, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but Fitzpatrick was like, oh, I got fired. I thought this was probably like the plan they had in place all along. And maybe it was, and maybe that wasn't communicated to Fitzpatrick, but you have a rookie quarterback. You have a bye week. You're going to want to play him. Like, this just makes sense. It's kind of weird to see Fitzpatrick almost heel turn, though, and be like, oh, I was fired. I thought this was my chance. This felt like my team. Like, dude, they took a quarterback in the top 5 of the draft. Like, what did you expect was going to happen? And by the way, when you look in the mirror, you're looking back at Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, you're not Dan Marino with the Miami Dolphins, buddy. You're Ryan Fitzpatrick. Should have seen this one coming with Tua, but I like the move for the Dolphins. I think it's going to be a really good move. this is a team that's 3-3, second place in the AFC East. Maybe Tua comes and lights a spark, and this team can get into the playoffs this year.
I really like the move, too. I think, number one, it shows awareness, right? There's a couple things to go through here, and I know Fitz is mad, and you can't blame the competitor in Fitz, but this isn't the first time that he has to go spill out his frustrations to the media after they do this, and I don't understand why he feels the need to do that. Those things should be internally, especially from a quarterback, so I don't blame Fitz for being upset, but the reality of the situation is, guys, a couple things. One, you took Tua as a top five pick. I mean, you want to see what he's got, right? And you look at this Miami team, I think they have the awareness that they're a middle-of-the-road team right now. I mean, and I'm not saying that because they're 3-3. I'm saying that because before the season, you look at them and you go, hey, they could win anywhere between 6, 7, 8, 9 games. And right now, they've beaten the Jaguars, the 49ers, who it was a really nice win, yeah, but the Niners have had their injury problems, and they beat the Jets, right? And Fitz played pretty good in those games, but you lost to New England. Fitz played horribly, threw 3 picks and no touchdowns. You lost to Seattle, great team, no touchdowns, 2 picks. I think the problem here is Fitz never plays good against the upper competition, and the Dolphins maybe think, hey, whether he's ready or not, Tua gives us a chance to maybe have that spark, to maybe, and we've seen rookie quarterbacks come in and make an impact. I don't care that they're 3-3. I don't care that they're coming off a win. I like this move. It shows the awareness. And the underlying factor here is, guys, if you're Chris Greer and Brian Flores, nobody expected the Texans to be this bad. Now you're sitting there and you're going, holy shit, we might have right, a top 3 pick. You might have a top 3, top 5, top 6 pick. You got to figure out what the hell Tua is right now. Because if Tua comes in, and I don't think this is going to happen, I'm a big believer in Tua, I'm a big fan of Tua. Tua looks absolutely lost, and a lot of people won't agree with this, but you don't want to be Washington, where you said, nah, we don't need a quarterback no matter what. If you're Chris Greer, you might say, hey, I'm going to evaluate Justin Fields. I'm going to evaluate Trey Lance. If I really like those guys, I might keep taking my swings. That's why I made this trade to get all these extra picks. Yep. So I'm just trying to lay out every side of this. The Dolphins want to see what Tua is. They want to see if they can get a quarterback that can compete against the better teams to try to sneak into the playoffs here. Fitz has shown you in his career. I don't care how many people love Fitz on Twitter over and over again. He's fallen short every single time he's had the big moment to beat one of the really good teams to go to the playoffs. So I love this move for Miami from a draft side, from a competitive side. It shows really good awareness, and it shows the boldness to make the change.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's I was plotting out a mock draft the other day, and it's like, oh, Miami at 5. Is it? Oh, that's from Houston.
Yeah,
that's the
rough
Texans pick. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, listen, buddy, you turn 38 next month. Like, it's over. You're good. You were a good placeholder. Feel good about that. Like, the last football maybe you played in the NFL, you can show your children and grandchildren and say, look, I mean, I was playing pretty good football. So I think you have to be happy with that. But as you guys were saying, the time is now for the Miami Dolphins. This is an incredibly young team. Just remember how deep their draft was last year. I mean, they had 2 first-round picks last year. They have 2 again this year. They also had 2 second-round picks last year. We're seeing some play from guys like Raekwon Davis. I think we'll see more Robert Hunt in the future. But like, this is a very, very loaded young team. Also, Austin Jackson, who's on IR in last year's draft. So it's a young team that could now reload again with 2 first-round picks. And this is a draft where I think it lines up really, really well for them at positions like edge rusher, you know, linebacker. I like their secondary. I think Byron Jones is a hell of a player. I love Xavien Howard. They got Noah Igbinoghene. But this draft lines up well. If they want to go back, they spent 2 early picks on the offensive line last year and a 4th-round pick with Solomon Kinley, who's actually starting, by the way. They could do it again. They could hit the offensive line again and say, Penny Sewell's on the board. Austin Jackson could play right tackle. Like, you can hit this again. Or, you know what? We love Devontae Parker. We need more wide receiver. Let's get Jamar Chase. Like, they have the ability to get an elite prospect in the top 5. And then let's say they do make a little bit of a push and they're picking between 15 and 20. They have no run game. You could see Najee Harris or Travis Etienne sitting there and be like, man, it's a little early for a running back, but we'd love to give Tua some help in the backfield. Or hell, with your 2nd-round picks. This team is absolutely loaded to dominate the draft process. And I think a lot of credit has to go to the front office because Chris Greer, who, when Mike Tannenbaum got fired, a lot of people were like, what are they going to do? Well, they just elevated Chris Greer. And I think he's done a hell of a job. So I look at Miami. That would be a fun place to play or work right now.
Oh, yeah. And with Brian Flores there, I think that he's one of the... He's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. I won't say he's one of the best yet. I still think he's got some work to do, but he's one of my favorite coaches. I love what they're building. And Matt, you mentioned it. Like, they're going to have almost their choice at the top five. Even if, like, say they get to number four, we could see three quarterbacks go back to back to back. And then you have your choice between, do we want to take Penny Sewell? Do we want to take Jamar Chase? What do we want to do here? But they're in a great position. And then with all the picks that they have, I really think that this is an up-and-coming team. I even said it when we previewed the AFC East. And, you know, we've even had, like, our guy Dan Kiefer is like a Dolphins fan now. It's like, man, with all these picks they have, they're just going to hit. And if they can walk away from this next draft and you have Penny Sewell or Jamar Chase from that top five pick that you're probably going to have, and then you can get a Travis Etienne in like the second, like you said, offensive line again, or on the defensive side with those other picks. Like, this is one of the most exciting teams in the NFL going into that 2021 season.
Absolutely. You're right. You stack the draft capital, you got the plan, and you got insurance. That's a lot of, that's something that a lot of teams simply just don't do, right? They don't go into it and go, like, I got to hit on this, I got to hit on that, next. I think for the Dolphins right now, they were a rare team that could take the risk on Tua from a health perspective, because a lot of teams had those risks. And Matt, I think it was you. How many teams did you say had to take Tua off the board before the draft? It was a handful.
I was trying to remember the exact number, but it was...
I want to say six.
I thought more than five was what I was thinking.
Yep. And that's not me saying, oh, it's, you know, what were they thinking? I liked the risk, but the Dolphins put themselves in a situation where the upside of Tua being a star quarterback... was absolutely worth the risk. And hey, if it doesn't work out, they have enough picks in the future where they could take another swing while they're trying to build a competitive roster around him, right? And you go back to the offensive line, Melo, you look at it and you go, hey, I mean, there's been some good things, right? I think Solomon Kinley, Robert Hunt, guys like that, you still want to add pieces here. You have some young receivers, but like Matt hinted out, got to really figure out how to develop this run game. And I think you need a star running back there at some point. And everybody will sit there and go, oh, you can't take one early. You can't do this. Can't do that.
Did they watch Clyde on Monday? Shit.
You don't have any other needs, man. When you've hit it in the draft with everything else, eventually you just got to be like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to take a running back. We'll have him for 5 years. Great thing about that is
absolutely,
you don't have to pay him. You get 5 years of control. And then for the crowd that's don't pay running backs, cool. Let him walk. Do what the Cowboys probably should have done with Zeke Elliott. Ride his ass for 5 years and then let him walk out the door. And I don't think he would be disappointed.
Right?
Yeah, and I think we're facing maybe, not to shift gears here, but I have to, maybe the most interesting pay or not pay running back situation we've seen in such a long time in Saquon Barkley coming up, right? A top talent, a number two overall pick. Now he's hurt. We don't have to address the reports out there. We know it's coming. Dave Gettleman is going to be fired at the end of this year. And sorry, I don't like cheering for people to get fired. This was a terrible hire. He did a terrible job, and it's long overdue. And you think a new GM is going to come in there? And I love Saquon Barkley, right? He's a great guy, good player. He hasn't really done enough right now to warrant going out and giving him $15 million a year yet. So I think that's going to be one of the more interesting do you pay the running back debates that we've seen yet.
And also, like, Saquon might not want to stay there. You know, I think that's a huge part of it. Saquon might not want to stay there. Yeah. I mean, that's the way I look at it, is that he might not. Like, he might not want them to pay him so that he can go somewhere like a Miami or like a wherever else, Jacksonville or whoever else needs a running back. Let's shift here, though, because this is interesting. Will Michael Thomas be a New Orleans Saint next season? Now, he's been fined and suspended for getting into an argument with Sean Payton that apparently crossed some lines. He's now injured with a hamstring injury, and this could be... it could be a legitimate injury. Absolutely. I'm not suggesting that he's faking an injury or that anything else, but I'm just saying it's interesting that a guy who was hurt, gets healthy, gets into it with his coach, is now hurt again. Michael Thomas, in my opinion, is the best receiver in the NFL. But we've seen wide receivers, particularly, struggle a little bit to stay in one place for a long time. Will Michael Thomas be a Saint next year, Melo?
I think he will next year, but I think it... like, if you put me up against the bullet here, the year after that, I don't think so. And one thing that we were kind of talking about, I was like, was this guy a problem at Ohio State? Did he have some issues? No, but especially with the receiver position, you see it all the time. When a guy gets paid, you start to see a little more distractions. Some of these guys start to turn into a diva. And I don't know if that's what's happening with Michael Thomas. And I love the dude on the field. I don't know him off the field. So I'm just assuming here. But it kind of seems like we're leaning that way to where this could end up being a problem. So as far as next season goes, I will say Saints are in one hell of a cap situation, where they're going to need to clear some cap money, and maybe you do have to explore what to do with Michael Thomas.
It's not easy either, right? Because the guarantees of that money, guaranteed at signing, which is always what we should focus on, there are guarantees that run into next year. And it becomes kind of one of those deals where if he's on the roster the third day of the league year, it keeps kicking in to be fully guaranteed, the salary for the year. But the bottom line is he got over $35 million guaranteed at signing. That's an extension that really started to kick in this year. So I don't think you can't just cut him really next year. It'd be hard to do, especially in their cap situation where they can't eat much dead money. Now, how does that money change if you trade him? That would be an interesting conversation. And I don't think the Saints would look to move this guy. But I think when we talk about the Saints this year and that ugly number they're walking into next year, they are going to have to move on from some good players.
Yep.
And we don't know who that's going to be. And I hate hammering, feeding the Fed horse here. But how many times do we have to say it? What were they thinking with putting Taysom Hill money on the books? What was the benefit of that in all of this? So the Saints are a really interesting team. Michael Thomas is a great player. But if you want to talk about, people go, you can't move. Star receivers get moved in this league every year, guys.
Nuke got
every
moved.
Single year. Right. Nuke got moved.
Antonio Brown got moved.
Nothing. That's what I was going to say. Antonio Brown?
It happens all the time. So it would be an interesting name
and I'll
that
say
could be
this.
Available.
If he is available, I love Deebo Samuel, and I'm really excited by Brandon Ayuk. If he's available and John Lynch doesn't do it, I'll be the guy burning a Niners jersey on Twitter. Like, don't fuck this up. If Michael Thomas, he's perfect for that offense. Perfect for it. Like,
I mean,
like Melo's team? No, he doesn't fit you guys. Like, the Chiefs don't need Michael Thomas. The 49ers need Michael Thomas. Like, please, God. Like, I'll apologize to Jimmy Garoppolo's face if you get Michael Thomas.
I'm just, like, spinning the wheels in motion of who in my head.
Right.
Well, I like that a lot because Deebo or Ayuk in the slot is just crazy. It's crazy. It's kind of Cowboys-esque, right?
Like, dream scenario for you. Drew Brees retires, and the Saints are like, fuck, we need a quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo straight across from Michael Thomas. Matt's best day ever. What happened right there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Who do I get a running back? Saquon?
Sure.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Not running the ball. Man, I like looking at the contract, I feel like there's a lot of these this year where it's Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Michael Thomas, where it's like, man, it might be better for everybody to have a change of scenery, but you can't. You know, right? You just can't. You're almost hamstrung by the contracts. And especially anytime we talk about contracts, we almost default to what a normal year would be like. Salary cap could be flat or down next year. So you really can't get rid of assets because you can't take a huge cap hit in a down cap year. So it's so even like the trade deadline this year, I keep getting asked, who's getting moved? Who's getting moved? I don't know if anybody will. It's a weird year.
And it's not like it's super
exciting.
Unless
you play
anyway.
With the Jets.
Yeah, then you guys are good.
Then everyone gets traded.
Yeah, it's almost like baseball. You see these just outrageous contracts and people can't move off of them. And then they almost instantly regret it. Like, that's what's happening with the quarterbacks. With Garoppolo, Cousins, and now you even have, like, Matt Ryan. I bet the Falcons wish they could go back and maybe get rid of that contract now. Which, Matt Ryan is a good quarterback. Please don't come at me. I get it. But he's old. New era there. They probably wish they could have a new quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, right? Because, like, you come into the crossroads. I was just having this conversation, with some people about Trevor Bauer is going to be a free agent in baseball this year. And you look at it and you go, well, he's going to win the NL Cy Young. He's going to be 30, which isn't old for a pitcher. But a guy that is a different kind of character, and you're probably going to have to give him, he says he'll take one-year deals. Nobody buys it. Seven-year deal. It happens in football, right? Pitchers and quarterbacks get these similar contracts where you go into 5, 6, 7 years, and then it feels like sometimes by the last 2 years of the deal, you're sitting there and you're going, man, can we stare at the clock a little longer, right? And it's no knock on Matt Ryan's a great player. Great player. I think that one is one that nobody would have a problem with. But Kirk Cousins is one right now where you look at it, it's like, oh, man, can we get through this one? It's, you know, when you got to make those tough decisions, and that's why it's tough for us to react, right? Whenever there's a big contract or no contract decision, we sit here and go, oof. And you get excited maybe the first year or two, but it's always those years 3, 4, and 5 that matter the most on these deals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait to see where Trevor Bauer goes. He's a
he's tweeted at every team.
Every team.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It seems very strategic. Hey, let me rile up every fan base right now. So
like,
everybody's
when he did the
screaming
Yankees
at their
one a
team
while
accounts.
Back, it was like, dude, no. Like, don't tell the
him and Garrett Cole hate each other too. So that's just him like almost trolling.
Yeah,
at that point.
That's like the one that I don't believe is the Yankees. But it's the Yankees, and they could probably make it happen.
I mean, it's going to be the Red Sox, right? It's got to be.
I don't think they're going to spend money.
Maybe not, because
they're
not
another
ready.
Thing. Who's going to spend money this year? Right?
The Mets.
Like,
the Mets.
The Mets are going to spend money, baby. Woo!
Right?
Oh, man. It's been a long time coming. We've been broke, boys. Finally done.
Right?
I'm kind of rooting for that one for you, Connor. Bauer in New York City.
God. There's no way. We couldn't handle it.
I want Real Muto. Because we haven't had a catcher that can catch long.
Since Piazza, right?
Oh, my God, dude.
Your
so
Mets podcast,
that's the one I want.
If you guys get Trevor Bauer, we'll become appointment listening, though. Because it'd be like,
yeah, we're going to do emergency pods.
Every day, like what Trevor Bauer tweet.
Yeah, every five days, absolutely. You're going to have to update it on what happened.
Yeah, just kick off every show. Like, we always go around the league on this show, on the Mets show. I'll just be like, all right, around Trevor Bauer's social media today.
Right. The Bauer Hour is what you could call it. Yeah, okay, let's keep going. No more baseball talk. Odell Beckham Jr. banned from LSU for 2 years for handing out money after the national championship game. Also lost in this story was that a booster has been, I don't even know what, suspended. They're losing scholarships over it for allegedly, or not allegedly, I guess it happened now, $180,000 to a parent of a player for a no-show job. $180,000 to not show up.
To
amazing.
A parent.
To a parent.
Nice.
Nice.
This is a good job if you can get it.
Right?
Yeah, I was going to say, great work if you could find it.
The things we did on the LSU campus and we're not banned. Think about that. Right? We aren't banned from LSU, and I thought a guy died that day.
Yeah. But, I mean, looking at Odell Beckham, I can't even talk. How stupid can you be to be on the sideline of the national championship game throwing out wads of money to players? Like, you think there are not a million cameras on you at the time? Which I kind of forgot about this until he got banned or whatever. He was so messed up on the sideline. Like, he probably doesn't even remember.
Oh, that's right.
You know, like, he's probably waking up on Wednesday, Thursday morning being like, the fuck I get banned for? Like, I don't even remember that game. Like, I've been in those
situations. Why is all my money gone?
What wads of money? What are you talking about? I've never met Justin Jefferson.
Oh, just man. Stacks.
Hey, can we have that conversation one day? How much Justin Jefferson fell?
Oh.
In the draft. And I know it's reactionary, but I'm just saying.
No, I had to write an article. It's actually out today. And it was like, why did DK Metcalf fall? It's like, because teams are stupid. And so it's like, why did the Eagles take Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson? Like, that alone is a conversation. And it is very, very early. There's been, 6 weeks of NFL play? But, like, they fucked up.
There's a full year of college football play, too, that told us this.
You remember when people were like, oh, he can only play in the slot. How's that fucking working
now
out
he plays
for
outside.
You?
Right? Oh, my God. I know. Or he's only good because of Joe Burrow. He's nothing without Joe Brady. Are you fucking insane? I loved Justin. He wasn't the best receiver in the class, in my opinion, or anything, but... God damn, he was good.
He was still like number 4 in a loaded class. Like
in
a normal
year. In the best receiver class ever.
I think we've said it. Like in a normal year, he might have been receiver 1. He just got buried in a class. And man, I picked this dude up in fantasy like right before he went off for his 7 catches. I've been loving him ever since. And it's crazy how much fantasy football can make you a fan of something. So like for me, yes. Justin Jefferson, I'll just ride this high. I love having him, and he's completely just going off.
Think how different Philly would be with Justin Jefferson right now.
They might be winning the division. Right?
God bless. It is amazing. Odell banned 2 years. That's the takeaway from that. Mello, it's blind review time, but before we get to blind review...
Speaking of Philly.
Yeah, speaking of Philly, we do have to congratulate Katie Luke, significant other of the year on Stick to Football, made it to her wedding day.
Big wedding day.
Well, when is the wedding day? Saturday?
This morning. It'll be Friday morning.
Friday morning. Friday. Okay. Well, we're recording Thursday, so knock on wood. I have been jinxing things lately, so...
That's very true. But man, I remember when I made it to my first wedding day. Like, that's so exciting for her, so congratulations. The first one's always the most exciting, so congratulations to Katie and Tom. Enjoy your marriage.
And we've met these guys.
Yeah, in Boston.
Yeah.
Yep. This is old Tom Cat. I don't even... I guess his last name's probably Luke, but he's always going to be Tomcat to me. So congratulations to the happy couple. But it is time for blind review. Fellas, a good one. Giants at Eagles. Philadelphia looking to get in the driver's seat of the NFC East. What a game we had last night. I really like a quarterback duel. You have Daniel Jones going off on one side of the ball. You have Carson Wentz going off on the other side of the ball. The biggest problem here is that both of them kept throwing to the wrong team, combined for 5 interceptions on the day. And, of course, we see a Daniel Jones fumble as well. Eagles take this one. It's a big, exciting game on a Thursday night. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I just have one question for you guys. What the hell was the ref doing in the third quarter? You have to get out of the way. That was a huge play that really just broke up a drive. What was that ref doing?
Well, I think it's time to defund the referees. That's where I'm at after watching Thursday Night Football. But you mentioned it again, the turnover ball between Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz. Daniel Jones wins the turnover ball, I guess, if you win by losing, by more interceptions, more fumbles. And my big takeaway, it's time for Dave Gettleman to go. It's probably time for Joe Judge to go. It's definitely time for whatever remains of the New York Giants organization to start scouting quarterbacks, because you are in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
I mean, and how about Boston Scott, the giant killer at this point, right? Look at what he did last year. It feels like all this guy does is score touchdowns against the Giants. He scored 4 times against the Giants last year, 2 last night for the Eagles, filling in for Miles Sanders. Giants, maybe that's your answer. Maybe you just got to get Boston Scott out of the division at this point. But a good win for the Eagles that needed desperately to get back on track.
All right, that's it. Let's take a break. We come back. It's time for Pick 6. It's Friday. That means it's time for Pick 6s. I'm used to the old days. It's Friday. That means that Mello and I have been drinking while recording. Those days are over because we record in the morning now. Let's start here. Number 17, Iowa State. At number 6, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys favored by 3.5. Not so fast, as our friend Lee Corso would say. Matty Campbell is at his best when playing up. My man can punch up like none other. Iowa State not only covers, they win this ball game. Oklahoma State, the most overrated team in college football based on this ranking.
Yeah, based on that number 6 ranking, it is going to be tough. And anytime we see an underdog win, Matt, we call it something special. It's the Super Underdog Locksmith Game of the Week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my own money on. First one of the day going to Iowa State and an upset at Oklahoma State. Like you said, I think Matty Campbell has this team ready to go, and they get a win in Stillwater.
I'm with you, too. I mean, we got to start calling him Rocky Balboa, right? It feels like every time he's down and out, they seem to find their way back in. I think the difference in this one is that Iowa State defense, I think they could do some things to slow down a pretty potent Oklahoma State offense. So, listen, you're telling me Iowa State gets 3.5 points here, and I know they're on the road. That's probably the difference here, but I like them possibly to win this one, fellas.
Yeah, this is a good Iowa State team. Those two tight ends, tough to stop for sure. South Carolina at LSU, the Tigers favored by 6.5 in Death Valley. Here's my upset special. It doesn't have a catchy name, but I think South Carolina wins this ballgame, guys. They're coming back off a high, beating Auburn last week, led by J.C. Horn in this fantastic secondary. And I think the offense can move the ball against LSU, which, facing what's been really a disappointing season, now you have the distraction of the sanctions, the penalties, Odell being suspended from the program for 2 years. I think LSU is going to be unfocused this week. South Carolina gets the win.
Fuck it. Super Underdog Locksmith Game of the Week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my own money on. Hits again, going upset special. I do think South Carolina wins this game. They got a little momentum on their side here at Death Valley. Not what it used to be. Not without all the fans there. Not without everybody jumping around. And what's Coach O been doing this week? His name was in the news for a little extra. So I'm going South Carolina this one in an upset.
I'm going to go with LSU here, guys. Somebody has to do it, right? And things have not been very fun over there like they were last year for LSU. Just a different vibe. in South Carolina. Like you said, Matt, J.C. Horn is a guy that is becoming must watch for every draft analyst or really every college football fan week after week. But I think LSU can win this game. I think LSU can cover that 6.5 line. I think the offense really, really puts the foot on the gas here, spreads the ball around. LSU wins.
Yeah, LSU, man, Connor, going against us on this one. This is tough.
Somebody's got to do it.
The Big Ten returns, guys. The Big Ten is back Saturday. Catch me locked in my house for this one. Number 18, Michigan, favored by 3.5 at number 21, Minnesota, where PJ Fleck will have them rowing the motherfucking boat. Give me the Gophers. Jim Harbaugh hasn't done anything in college football. I don't know why we trust this man. I do not. Doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. I am excited for Joe Milton, but Minnesota's wide receivers led by Rashad Bateman, too much for Michigan. Gophers win in the upset.
Yeah, I don't know if Vegas even watches college football because they have Michigan as a -3.5 favorite on the road.
At Minnesota.
That's ridiculous. That's why I'm naming this one the Super Underdog Locksmith Game of the Week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my own money on. Minnesota wins this one. I have no idea why they're the underdog, but they are.
Yeah, it's freaking underdog mania this week. I think these lines are going to move. Can I just say that? I'm not even kidding. As we're sitting here recording, I have my sportsbook app open, and I'm just like, bet, parlay. Because, I mean, the odds are just juicy here. And I don't know, maybe they know something we don't, but I am rowing the fucking boat. Let's go, Minnesota. I think they beat Michigan. I think they're going to come out of the gate. I mean, PJ Fleck, you kidding me? Week one, this guy's probably about to explode out of his office at this point, having to wait to play this long, and they're at home. I'm excited to watch this Minnesota team, and man, Michigan, they kind of need to win this, right? They're tired. That Michigan fan base is tired of being let down after the big hire that was horrible. I mean, they're exhausted at this point, but I don't know. I just think Minnesota has way too much energy, and more importantly, Minnesota has a lot of damn talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to watch in this game.
Yeah, they do. This is a good one, a good scouting matchup this weekend. One more from the college side, a top 10 team, number 9 Cincinnati, Luke Fickell's Bearcats at number 16 SMU. The Mustangs are favored by 2.5, guys. I'm taking the Bearcats. I think Luke Fickell's one of the best coaches in college football. No disrespect to our guy Shane Buechele, who is probably still leading college football in passing yards. It feels like he's thrown for 450 every weekend. I think Cincinnati, just too good all the way around. And Reggie Roberson out for SMU. That is a big, big blow at wide receiver.
Cincinnati has one of the best secondaries in the entire nation. No, I don't mean the American Conference. I mean the entire nation. That's why I'm going with the Super Underdog Locksmith Game of the Week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my own money on. Cincinnati gets a win at SMU. Sorry, Shane Buechele. Thanks for following me on Twitter, but I think you catch an L this weekend.
Oof, brutal. All right, I'm going with Cincinnati as well, if anyone cares at this point. It's that is all three of us. There's nothing else left to say.
Okay, this gets a little more complicated. NFL football picks the Pittsburgh Steelers, favored by 2. What the fuck was that accent? Over the Tennessee Titans. The Titans also undefeated. This is a big game. This is game of the week, without a doubt. And this was really, really tough for me to pick because you guys know I love Mike Vrabel. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. This reminds me of a game. This should just be like throwback football. Derrick Henry's probably going to kill a man, but TJ Watt is such a monster. I'm picking the Steelers. I think their wide receivers are going to give the Titans secondary a little bit of trouble because you have to worry about the middle of the field. I think Kevin Byard is not going to be able to spy guys like Chase Claypool. This will be a close game, which is why we see the 2-point spread. I'm going to take the Steelers to win, though.
2-point favorite, Pittsburgh Steelers. Matt, you said game of the week, but you forgot the rest of it. This is the Super Underdog Locksmith Game of the Week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my money on. Fellas, we started the train. There's no stopping now. I think the Titans win this one in an upset.
Wow. All right. I got the Titans as well. I think it's going to be tough, though. I'm taking them because of the points here. They get two of them. I think this game comes right down to the wire. We'll be very close. So either a Titans win or a Titans cover. But this is, by far, I think one of, if not the toughest game to predict of the entire NFL season so far.
Yep, this is the one where it's like, ooh, this is tough. This one, I don't think the next one's tough. Panthers at Saints. The Saints are favored by 7.5 before the Michael Thomas news even. I picked the Panthers to cover this game. I am sticking with it. Matt Rhule has this team playing very, very good right now. They don't get Christian McCaffrey back, but Mike Davis has been exceptional. Teddy Bridgewater has stepped up. The Saints are just like paper tigers to me. There's no fight to this team. I actually think they're one of the softest teams in the entire NFL. Prove me wrong this week. And running your bad quarterback slash fullback slash tight end slash gunner 7 or 8 times a game isn't going to prove to me that you are tough enough to beat a team like the Carolina Panthers. I got the Panthers covering this one, guys.
Panthers have been playing very good. They are definitely the hot hand right now. I'm going to ride with the hot hand. I know they lost to Chicago, but Chicago might be one of the best teams in the NFL. So, Super Underdog Locksmith game of the week to bet your money on, because I don't have the nuts to bet my money on. I'm going with the Panthers as well. I think that this offense has looked very good, and I think with the Saints, a lot of distractions there going on with Michael Thomas. I think the Panthers coming away with a win, or at a minimum, they're going to cover that 7.5-point spread.
I'm looking at my pick'em pool, and I picked the Panthers, but in our rundown, I picked the Saints. So what I'll say is I think the Saints win this game. I think the Panthers easily covered that 7.5 line. That is disrespectful to Matt Rhule's Panthers. So if you're looking for the betting aspect of this, I do think the Panthers cover that line pretty easily, to be honest with you. And Michael Thomas doesn't play, because that's something that I think a lot of people, and clearly Vegas, were, I hate saying this, betting on this week. I think that's the big difference.
Yep, there you go. Those are our pick sixes. Take a break. We come back. Draft on Draft from our friends at Dos Equis. It is Draft on Draft time, presented by Dos Equis, who we can thank for saving our Saturdays with some Homegate, like the gear they've sent, the beer. It's been good. It's been a good time. I'm enjoying it. It's getting used. I'll tell you that. Definitely getting used. Let's kick it off with the question. So Dakota Cox sent in a goddamn book. Okay, factoring in what it'll take to get them. Dakota, I love you. Sorry. Factoring in what it will take to get them, rank these quarterback options. Trading for Sam Darnold, trading for Dwayne Haskins, trading for Daniel Jones, or drafting Kyle Trask. Here's my take, and people are going to be mad. Trading for Sam Darnold, number one. Drafting Kyle Trask, number two. Trading for Dwayne Haskins, number three. Trading for Daniel Jones, number four.
I would agree with your power ranking, but I want to put my own little twist on it. I would explore the Sam Darnold market. Don't think it's a secret. We loved Sam Darnold coming out. I think there's a lot of potential there that you could probably get for a second rounder. If not, maybe the first rounder. I would rather have Sam Darnold than Kyle Trask. And as far as Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones go, I wouldn't want them. Unless I'm giving up like a fifth round pick for them to come be a backup, I don't want them. I don't think that they can play in the league, not as starters. So I wouldn't even waste my time figuring out, can either one of those guys play on my team?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, maybe people will call us biased. Maybe people will say, hey, you can't get off your draft evaluations, although that's what we're at with all of these guys right now, right? All we have is our draft evaluations. Like, the Jets have done nothing to help Sam Darnold. Daniel Jones has been really bad, which that was my evaluation. But the Giants haven't done a ton to help Daniel Jones. I thought Pat Shurmur did a decent job with him as a rookie. This year's been a mess. Haskins did not play well at all, and the Washington football team did not do anything to support him that really get him going, besides, some talent at wide receiver, but the line's bad. So you just go by what your evaluations are. It would be Darnold for me, and then it would be Trask, and then Haskins and Jones, and I don't think the line between those moves is dramatic in any way.
No, and like you said, for a lot of these guys, especially like Haskins, who hasn't played a whole lot, you only have your evaluation. And with Daniel Jones, like, his play has mirrored the evaluation for me. The turnovers are still there, and there are some really good throws, and you get excited about it, and you get excited about the mobility sometimes, but then there are turnovers. And so, yes, we would love to have our evaluation change, but it hasn't. It hasn't changed. He is that guy. So you can't change your evaluation when the evidence on the field, I'm huge about, when given new information, change your opinion. That's okay. You can do that. You should do that. But when the information confirms your opinion, I think it's okay. It's okay. My opinion's the same. I know Giants fans don't want to hear that. he has to stop turning the fucking ball over. And then we could be like, hell,
three
hey,
times
we
last night. Like, did you guys watch right? the game? Jeez. I did.
Josh Collier asked, there's a ton of really bad football teams in the NFL this year. Is that by design, considering a generational talent at quarterback coming out, or is it just a ton of poorly run organizations and it's all showing at once? Josh, I love this question, buddy. We've talked about this on the show before. There have been a lot of coaches fired. There have not been a lot of general managers fired. So I think what we're seeing is a lot of general managers doubling down on their mistakes instead of admitting them and moving on. I'm not the biggest Ryan Pace fan. I want to give him a lot of credit for bringing in Nick Foles. And they gave Trubisky, they gave him a chance this year. And they said, you know what? It's not working and we have to win. My job depends on it. Put in Nick Foles. They're 5-1. It's like, that's what you have to do. But instead we see guys like Dave Gettleman, who made decisions, made bad decisions, didn't work. Bill O'Brien made bad decisions, got fired. Love Thomas Dimitroff. They gambled, didn't pay off in terms of wins, they got fired. And so I think that's what we're seeing. You know, you can look at, you know, Minnesota doubling down again on Kirk Cousins. It's not working. All the bad teams in the NFL. So some of it's by design, yes. I think the Jags, probably by design, they're not very good. But like, the Jets ain't trying to be 0-6 or whatever, 0-5, 0-6. Like that was not the plan this year. I don't think it was the plan for the Giants to be terrible. They just are. Yep.
I agree.
Hey, guys, you want to hear something really weird?
Yes.
The Vikings just traded Yannick Ngakoue.
What? As we're sitting here.
The Vikings traded Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens.
Fuck. Holy shit.
Instant reaction as a Chiefs fan. God damn it.
They just got him.
Yeah, he played six games for him, and they won one. I mean, I think he's been fine.
Yeah.
But
dude, the Ravens are going to fucking
and they
ball.
Took a loss.
Oh, my God.
It's like when you drive the new car off the lot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They traded.
You lose $4,000.
2021 third rounder.
What? It's Whoa. Like the emergency pod within the pod.
Dude, that's big. I love that move.
Yeah.
I love that the Ravens are like, you know what? Fuck it. We got to go get somebody. Let's get Yannick
like it for the Ravens. And again, not as a Chiefs fan. But to bring another pass rusher onto that defense, it's going to be scary.
Yerp. Wow. I wonder why Connor wasn't saying anything. And it was like, guys.
I was just sitting here. I did the old, like, let me check the blue check 50 times on Schefter. Yeah. Because I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Right. And then it's like, oh, wow, it happened.
Like I was saying about the Vikings, though, some teams are accidentally bad. This is why.
And then they're just like, yeah, fuck it, let's move him. We need more draft picks.
You know what's crazy? The Ravens were, when the Vikings got Ngakoue, the Ravens were one of the teams that I had heard was like, they were in the running back over summer.
Yeah.
They got him.
It should have been.
Persistence pays off.
I guess you have to make that phone call and be like, hey, just curious, you want to get rid of him? And the Minnesota Vikings said yes.
What lasted longer, my first marriage or Yannick Ngakoue as a Viking?
Actually, probably have to check the tape on that one.
Right? I might have to.
Yeah, you have to go back to the actual days.
I got to look at the divorce papers. That one's close. Wow, that's awesome for
your,
Baltimore.
Divorce press conference.
Right?
Post-divorce press conference.
I should start doing those.
Yeah, I'll have to go watch the tape.
You really should.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to look at the tape.
I kind of had.
Yeah, I can't answer anything to look at the tape.
I kind of had to do like a press release the last one. Because she's a well-known photographer, and people were like tagging us and things together, and I finally had to be like, hey.
Yeah, I remember that.
Nope.
And that was the divorce.
That was the divorce,
which can be confused with breakups. Just want to clarify that for everyone.
A lot of those. A lot of those. Okay, let's get back to the question. Josh Collier, yes, a lot of bad teams. I think some are intentional. Like, I do think the Jaguars are intentionally bad, right? They wanted to acquire early picks. But I think there's a lot of others. It's just they're poorly run teams, and I do think we're going to see a lot of turnover in front offices this year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know, head coaches, GMs, there's going to be a lot of job openings this year. And like we were saying, I don't even honestly remember what the hell I did say. But I don't think it's by design. I think the Jaguars were maybe the only team that looked at tanking this year, and I don't even know if they're tanking. But like the Dolphins, the Jets, the Giants, like none of those teams wanted to be bad. Some of them just are.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. They don't. You know, I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, look at the teams that are at the bottom of the barrel, right? Like, the Falcons are not expected to be that bad. The Texans did not. The Texans let their coach, GM, trade a top three receiver in the NFL.
Right.
And then they fired him. That's how bad things were. I mean, the Jets, The Jets is one that's interesting. There's a lot of mixed theories there that the number one, Joe Douglas doesn't have the power to fire Adam Gase. So
right.
Joe Douglas was stuck with Adam Gase this year, and then he makes all these really like low budget free agent signings and trades the star player, and CJ Mosley sits out. The Jets is one that's like, I don't know how hard they were trying to fully go all in on this year, and boy, did they stink. The Giants hired a new coach that clearly wants to win. The roster's just not there yet. So it's one of those questions where, you know, pretty much no teams come in and fully tank it. But you can also argue how competitive are certain teams trying to be, because GMs, like you said, Matt, they understand what kind of window they're working.
Yeah, they definitely do. Let's keep it going here. Chris Whelan, early submission here. Would you rather keep Adam Gase for the whole year if it guaranteed you Trevor Lawrence, or fire Gase today if it guaranteed you Eric Bieniemy? The caveat being you can't have both. So would you rather have Eric Bieniemy or Trevor Lawrence? I would rather have Trevor Lawrence, and it's not close.
Yeah, and then make a run at like Brian Daboll or somebody else. That, like that first overall pick, like Connor, you guys are in a great situation, because if the Jets get the first overall pick, that's going to bring in a lot of coaches that say, yep, pair me up with Trevor Lawrence. Been wanting to do this for a long time. So I'm going to go with the same pick here. Trevor Lawrence, guy's generational. Like, honestly, one of the best quarterbacks we've seen since Andrew Luck. Feels like a no-brainer, safe pick overall. And I love Eric Bieniemy. I think he's done a great job as an OC. I would rather have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's not close at all. You know, and like you said, Melo, if you get Lawrence, it just keeps opening up those doors, right? Like, if the Jets are, I've been on top of this where the Jets are in big trouble if they don't get the first overall pick, because it's going to be a tough place to convince a top tier head coaching candidate to come work at. But if you have the number one overall pick, which is a special quarterback prospect in Trevor Lawrence, and let's not forget, they got Seattle's first rounder as well. So a lot of draft ammo, 9 picks in this draft, 9 the following year. You know, you'd get not who you want, but pretty close to who you want. So I'd sign me up for Trevor Lawrence in that scenario.
Do you buy the Dabo to like who has the first pick?
No.
I don't either. I know it's rumored, like it's out there. I don't buy it.
Is the rumor that he's going to do that?
Leave Clemson.
Yeah.
I don't buy it either. I think he's going to look for a great situation, not just, oh, you have the first overall pick. I don't buy it.
Yeah. I don't think so at all either. You could argue with what Dable has done with Josh Allen. I mean, you get like the super, super souped up version, Trevor Lawrence. Right. And then you say, hey, Brian Dable, you want to do that with this guy? Okay.
Or cool. Greg Roman. It's like, hey,
I love Greg Roman.
You wanna come do this here? And this is not a knock on Lamar Jackson. Trevor Lawrence is more accurate. It's like that offense with being able to do a little bit more because your quarterback has a little bit more of a skill set. Wouldn't hate it. Would not hate it. Okay, last question today from RB. Just RB. One player I wish we could see this year is Clemson wide receiver Justin Ross. With his neck and spine surgery, where do you have him ranked on your draft board if he shows that he's 100% healthy before the NFL draft next year? So I've actually just assumed he's not in this draft. If that changes, it'll change. But I see him as being a 2022 guy. I like Justin Ross a lot. I do have questions about speed a little bit that have to be answered and cleared up and figured out, but he's a good player. He is a very good player. I mean, he reminds me a lot of, you know, the wide receiver they had last year who went in the second round. So
yeah. T. Higgins.
Yeah.
I like Justin Ross quite a bit. I think that maybe he got a little more hype than he should have. Even if he were healthy, number three at the highest, like I wouldn't have him ahead of Chase or Waddle. I really like both of those guys, but I did see the other day he tweeted out he's back to full pads in practice, so him being able to recover, I do think we're going to see him in this draft class, but with that injury, I think that we're going to see him drafted pretty late. Even if you look at the tape and he says I'm fully healthy, I don't think this is going to be like a Tua situation where he still gets drafted very high. I think this is going to be a situation where he still gets drafted in like the third round, probably, because people are nervous about that injury.
Real quick, isn't it crazy that you can come back from a broken neck faster than a broken ACL? Like, I mean, guys, like I had to write about this. DK Metcalf got hurt in October, was cleared in January. You broke your neck. I know like Mike Williams at Clemson was a different one where that was a full year, but goodness, man, like to me, that's a career ender.
But I guess
your neck, yeah, should be.
Especially in football, where you think the possibility to reignite that injury again is so scary. But when you look at Justin Ross, you know, back in pads, he was cleared to lift. Middle of October, he was cleared to start lifting weights again, and I think he's going to go see that surgeon in December to see where he's at. You know, then you can take the next steps. Can this guy practice? Can he do this? Can he do that? With that timeline, I align with you, Matt. It would be very surprising to see him in this draft, especially like if they didn't have, you know, quarterbacks after Trevor Lawrence. He'd be like, okay, maybe he just understands he's got to get his name in. He doesn't want to risk his health in college anymore. But they got plenty of talent there at quarterback where he goes, hey, I come back for another year, have a monster year, show everyone I'm healthy, the risk is gone, and try to play myself into the first round of 2022. So really interesting decision for Justin Ross coming up.
It will
up.
Be, yeah. And it's Clemson, do they need him? I don't know if they do.
And like next
maybe
year,
to beat Alabama, they do.
They've got two young quarterbacks in Clemson whose name I can't say either one of them. But DJ. maybe you look at that situation where you're excited to play with another young quarterback. But I'm telling you, I would think that with Trevor Lawrence 99% out the door already, I don't think we see Justin Ross in a Clemson jersey. Not in a game again.
Okay. There it is. That's our show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we will be back Tuesday morning with Mello when you're older. Connor and I just staying the same. We'll be back Monday, Tuesday. That's it. All right. See you guys.